Jehani lo prema danna koruna prachu. Jehani lo prema danna koruna prachu. Hey no bravo kota. Gela acharya takur, heno prabhu kota gela acharya takur, taha mora sarupa kaha sanata. Kahamora sarupa kasanata kahadasa ragunata patita bhavan kahadasa ragunata Patita Bhavan Kahamor Vata Yuga Kaha Kaviraj Kahamor Vata Yuga Kaha Kaviraj Eka Kalaya Kota Gela Goranataras Ega Kale Kota Gela Goranataras Ashane Kutivo Mata Annale Pasivo Pashane kutibo mata Anale pashibo Goranga gunera Nidhi kota gele pabo Goranga gunera Nidhi Kota gele papo se sabha sangira sange ye koilo vilas se sabha sangira sange ye koilo vilas se sanga Napaya kandehi narutamota vas Se sangana paya kandehi narutamota vas Yeyani luprema dana koruna prachu Anilo prema danna koruna prachu. And so I will read the translation. He who brought the treasure of divine love and who was filled with compassion and mercy, where is such a personality as Srinivasacharya gone? Where am I, Surup Damodar and Rupa Goswami? Where is Sanatan? Where is Raghunath Das, the savior of the fallen? Where are my Raghunath Bhatta and Gopal Bhatta? And where is Krishnadas Kaviraj? Where did Lord Gauranga, the great dancer, suddenly go? I will smash my head against the rock and enter into the fire. Where will I find Lord Gauranga, the reservoir of all wonderful qualities? Being unable to obtain the association of Lord Gauranga, Accompanied by all of these devotees in whose association he performed his pastimes, Narottama Das simply weeps. So, as I mentioned, for those of you who are just joining us now, today we are commemorating the disappearance day of these two great personalities, Gadadhar Pandit Goswami and Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we spoke about this morning. You're welcome to listen to our class from this morning about Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which is on YouTube and on Facebook. Okay, and now we will speak about Gadadhar Pandit Goswami. So, as I think most of you are aware, so Omagana Timidandasha Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshuanan Miditam Yena Tasmai Shigurave Namaha. Most of you are aware, since the Pancha Tattva a few days ago, that each of the members of the Pancha Tattva are of a different category. That's why we say use the word Tattva. So there's Vishnu Tattva, which is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Dvaita. There's Shakti Tattva. Shakti means energy. And that is Gadadhar. And there is Jiva Tattva. That is Srivas Thakur, who we talked about the other day. So Gadadhar Pandit is Shakti Tattva. So that means the energy of the Lord. So the Lord has multifarious energies. There's an interesting verse. Vishnu Shakti Pra Prabda Shetra Pra Vidyakarma Sanganya Trutira Shakti Shate. Generally, they're divided into three categories: the material energy, that is the spiritual energy, second one, and then there is the Jiva soul, who is the marginal potency of the Lord. So, now we are talking, as far as Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, about the internal potency, the spiritual potency of the Lord, and the origin of the internal potency, the Adi Shakti. Adi means original Shakti, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is Srimati Radharani. So Srimati Radharani is the Ladini Shakti, also of the Lord. Ladini Shakti means the pleasure potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so we are chanting her name every day, many, 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 many times. Every time we say, Hare, that's Hara, in the vocative form, we are crying out for Radharani's mercy, because no one can become Krishna conscious without getting Radharani's mercy. So whenever the Lord appears, he appears with all of his associates and energies. And so, as far as the Pancha Tattva is concerned, we mentioned that Gadadhar, he is the Shakti of the Lord. He is the manifestation of Srimati Radharani in the Pancha Tattva. So, he's the Adi Shakti of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, and so we pray for Gadadhar's mercy. So, let's talk a little bit about his pastimes. He was actually younger than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, about 1 year younger than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he moved to Navadvip. He and his family moved to Navadvip, where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, actually Mayapur Dham, when he was a little less than 15 years old, and he became the childhood friend of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he was inseparable. He appeared in the year 1486, and he left this world in 1534. And if you do your calculation properly, that's 14 and 34, and that ends up in 48. 14, 34 is 48. Okay. So, that means he stayed in this world roughly about the same time as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did. So he was a very close childhood friend of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in fact, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited his pastimes of being, let's say, a scholar, and Lord Chaitanya showed that he was actually interested in defeating the Vaishnavas and defeating everybody else as an expert scholar, Gadadhar got very upset with him. But Lord Chaitanya reassured Gadadhar Pandit by telling him that in the future, I will be such a great Vaishnava. I doesn't refer to me, it refers to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that I will be such a great Vaishnava that even Lord Brahma and Shiva will pay obeisances to me. And so Gadadhar was thinking, he is very, very, very proud. So, he and the other Vaishnavas would actually pray that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would become a devotee so that he could preach Krishna consciousness. And, of course, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited his devotional mood after he took initiation. Now, this is very important for us. And also, we were talking today about Bhaktivinod Thakur. The Bhaktivinod Thakur's early pastimes, they were just a glimmer of an indication that Bhaktivinod Thakur was going to be a great devotee, although the astrologers had predicted it. Even though Bhaktivinod Thakur is an eternally liberated soul, in other words, he's eternally a great devotee, but he exhibited pastimes of appearing to be more interested in Christianity in the beginning. Now, the reason he was more interested in Christianity in the beginning of his life was because primarily the teachings of Hinduism, which were extant, were based upon something we call monism, or to be more precise, impersonalism. So impersonalism, as we were mentioning this morning, some of you went to my class this morning will recognize this, impersonalism is dealt with in Srila Prabhupada's pranam mantra. Second pranam mantra is as follows. Nirvishesha shunyavadi paschacha dejatarni. Namaste, of course, it begins with Namaste Saraswati Debe Gauravani Pacharni. Nirvishesha shunyavadi paschacha dejatarni. Nirvishesha means something where there is no distinction between the tattvas. In other words, everything is one. Or not understanding the difference between the individual soul and the supreme soul. Or between the supreme soul and the material energy and the individual soul. So this is nirvishesha. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was very much repelled by this nirvishesha attitude, which was basically all pervasive in Hinduism at that time. And so Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in the beginning, he preferred Christianity, because at least Christianity deals with a personal God or relationship with a personal God, or at least there's God there. And the individual soul is not part of, it's part of God, but it's not actually identical with God. So, but then Bhaktivinoda Thakur, after he came across the Chaitanya Charitamrita and Srimad Bhagavatam, he modified his approach. And of course, this is all external under the influence of Krishna's, what we call Yogamaya potency. And then he exhibited his position as a great devotee of the Supreme Personality of God. And so one may ask, you know, why is this? And also, you know, why did Prabhupada wait until he was 70 years old to go to the Western world? Wouldn't it have been better had he gone when he was 24? Why did he spend all those years getting married and having children, anything like that? These are the pastimes of the devotees to teach us something. Like Prabhupada's pastimes, for example, where Prabhupada gets the instruction from his spiritual master when he was 24 to preach in the Western world, it shows that Prabhupada's dedication throughout his whole life, even throughout his household life, just meditating on that instruction. And basically, it's much more heroic to go on an adventure to a new land when you're 70 than when you're 24. I mean, 24-year-old people, they go in a small boat across the ocean and think nothing of it. Well, maybe they think something of it, but it's, you know, it's part of what young people do. So Krishna wanted to glorify Prabhupada because Prabhupada took the utmost austerity in coming to the Western world at an old age. And this is the glorification of a devotee. When a devotee takes more trouble to serve his Lord, then that's more glorification. Like if, let's say, Prabhupada was to come to the Western world and everyone went to greet him as he got off the boat chanting Hare Krishna. That's not such an interesting story, but because he struggled, that actually is the glorification. Prabhupada said, what is the need for opposition is to inspire some sort of glorious victory. You know, without opposition, there's no glorious victory. There's no story, in fact. So for various reasons, you have these pastimes of the Lord, or the pastimes of the Lord's energies, or the pastimes of the Lord's devotees. Let me turn this thing off, so I don't get harassed by the phone. That are quite mysterious. And so Gadadhar Pandit Goswami and Lord Chaitanya, we were talking about before, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't exhibit his devotional inclination until he actually took initiation. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur basically didn't until he actually got a hold of the Chaitanya Charitamrita and the Srimad Bhagavatam, which showed him that India's heritage had a far greater theological, God-centered conception than anything that the Western world ever had. And the whole idea of monism was basically something that was, let's say, propagated by people who were envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or, in the case of Shankaracharya, had a mission to bewilder people because of the predominance of Buddhism. I'm not going to get into all those details. But it's crazy. Like Prabhupada, I was relating a class that I heard of Prabhupada today, where there was some person who was preaching some nonsense that Vivekananda had propagated. And Prabhupada just challenged the person. Vivekananda was an impersonalist who had never read the Vedas. He just came over with some Ramakrishna and Vivekananda basically had not read the Vedas, or much of the Vedas, or hadn't understood the purpose of the Vedas. So he just came over with some hodgepodge stuff. Yatumat tatopat. I'm okay, you're okay, you know, do your own thing. It's like a version of the hippies in the 1960s. So he came over with that. And Prabhupada challenged this follower of Vivekananda and said, basically, where did Krishna say that in the Bhagavad Gita? Because this person was bringing forth the point that Vivekananda was talking about the Rudra Narayan, the poor Narayan, the poor people, or service to people was service to God. But we understand, according to the Bhagavad Gita, when you serve God, you serve people, naturally serve people. We're not against serving people, but if you want to serve God, you serve God. And automatically, when you water the root of the tree, all the leaves get watered. So anyway, so Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not exhibit his devotional inclinations until he took initiation, showing us the purpose of initiation. Very, very important. So after Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took initiation, showed his devotional inclinations, he was inseparable from Gadadhar Pandit. And even before Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took initiation, Gadadhar Pandit became familiar with Lord Chaitanya's spiritual master, who was Ishwarapuri, because Ishwarapuri had visited Navadvip, and he had instructed Gadadhar Pandit in his book called the Krishna Lilamrita. Also, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu helped edit that book. This is before Lord Chaitanya took initiation from Ishwarapuri in Gaya. So, but Gadadhar Pandit in the early days did not have a spiritual master. So Krishna arranged something very interesting to put Gadadhar Pandit in contact with his spiritual master. Now, we mentioned before that Gadadhar Pandit is an appearance or a manifestation of Srimati Radharani. Avatar. Avatar means coming down from the spiritual world of Srimati Radharani. So his natural guru in that respect, would be Srimati Radharani's father, who is Vrishabhanu. So Vrishabhanu, and Radharani is known as Vrishabhanu Nandini. I mean, it's like the daughter or the darling of Vrishabhanu. So Vrishabhanu appeared in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes as Pundarik Vijaniti. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also considered Pundarik to be like his father. For many, many years, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would be crying out, and nobody knew what he was crying out for. He would say, "Where is Pundarik, my father? Where is Pundarik, my father?" So, once upon a time, this Pundarik Vijaniti came to Mayapur, where Lord Chaitanya was and Gadadhar Pandit was. And he was very close with another associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whose name was Mukunda Dutt, who was a great singer. Very well known. Lord Chaitanya would very much appreciate his singing. So what happened is that Mukunda Dutt also was friends with Gadadhar Pandit. And Mukunda Dutt said to Gadadhar Pandit, "Let us go to see this great devotee, Pundarik Vijaniti." So Gadadhar Pandit thought, "Okay, let's go see. I want to go see this great devotee." So they both went to see him. And Gadadhar Pandit noticed that Pundarik Vijaniti was sitting on a very opulent bedstead. Some of you may be familiar with, let's say, a four-poster bed with, let us say, silk sheets and canopies. And Pundarik Vijaniti was wearing silk. He had long black hair, and his hair was slicked back, and his lips were red from chewing betel. And he looked like a very dapper, as they say, it's like an English word, dapper gentleman. And so it didn't appear that he was very spiritual. I mean, sometimes you see that a spiritualist will be either dressed in a very opulent fashion or riding in a very opulent car. Generally, there's the conception in India that a spiritualist should just walk and not wear shoes and be very humble and things like that. Even in the West, it's like that. You know, someone spiritual must have long hair, must be dressed in rags, something like that. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, wanting to dissuade the devotees from that particular concept, because he wanted to help the devotees understand that spiritual means using everything in Krishna's service, even if it means using money and wealth and everything like that in Krishna's service. So in order to really shock people, bring them to their senses, he came to Radhakund one time in a Rolls Royce. A Rolls Royce. For those of you who don't know what a Rolls Royce is, it's up there. It's about the fanciest type of car. As far as a rich man's car, I mean, they're more expensive cars. For example, when I was young, my father had a Rolls Royce. And me, I asked a stupid question of him. I said, "How much mileage do you get? You know, how many miles per gallon?" And he said, "If you have to ask that question, you don't belong in this car." So that's what a Rolls Royce is. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati did that in a chauffeured limousine Rolls Royce. He went to Radhakund, and wearing sort of like Western clothes, half Western clothes, you know, like a coat and everything like that. Whereas traditionally, sannyasis are not supposed to do that. I mean, sannyasis are supposed to go by foot, and but to speak of wearing shoes, you know, really not allowed. But to speak of crossing oceans to preach, not allowed. So this, you know, it's quite shocking. And then one time there's a story about Prabhupada. The Prabhupada arrived at a temple, and he came, they picked him up in a Rolls Royce, again a Rolls Royce, and the newspaper reporters asked, "What are you doing coming in a Rolls Royce?" Those are the exact words, but they questioned Prabhupada about it. And Prabhupada said, "A gold car is not good enough for the guru." But it's not that Prabhupada was demanding it or attached to it, but he was proving or showing the point that one should honor the representative of the Supreme Lord as good as God. Not that the representative becomes God, but the representative is treated as good as God. Just like an ambassador, he's treated with a special reception because he's been appointed the ambassador of a particular country. So one should not be confused by the external appearance of a Vaishnava. And sometimes a Vaishnava will act like an avaduta. In other words, maybe even like a crazy person so no one will bother him. You have Lord Rishabhadev, who is an empowered incarnation of the Lord, who took up this process of Jada Yoga. And everyone thought he was, not everyone, but most people thought he was crazy. What to speak of Shukadev Goswami, who was walking around completely without clothes. And people were making fun of him and laughing at him. But when he came to speak, the Srimad Bhagavatam, all the sages rose and paid him respects. And he was only 16 years old. So you really can't judge a devotee by the cover. And we have these preconceived notions of what a spiritualist should be. You know, people criticize Prabhupada for using microphones, for using cars. And Prabhupada, they asked Prabhupada one time, I think, that Lord Chaitanya walked all over India. Why are you using the planes and everything? Prabhupada said, what do you want me to do, walk all over the world or something stupid like that? Because we have a mission. The mission is Yukta Vairagya, as those who have been following my Bhagavad Gita class will understand that term, which means to use things that belong to Krishna in Krishna's service. And if you say you renounce them, you have no right to renounce them because they never belonged to you in the first place. So, anyway, so getting back to the story of Gadadhar Pandit and Pundarik Vijayaniti, Gadadhar Pandit saw Pundarik Vijayaniti seated on that opulent bedstead, and he thought, shoo, this Mukunda Dat, he is just too liberal. This Pundarik Vijayaniti, he is a materialist. He was thinking like that. So Mukunda Dat, his friend, who was an expert musician, expert singer, as I mentioned before, understood what Gadadhar Pandit was thinking. And he began to sing about Krishna's mercy from the Srimad Bhagavatam. And when he began to sing about Krishna's mercy from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Pundarik Vijayaniti, who is Radharani's father in Krishna Leela, began to faint and scream in ecstasy and roll on his bed, and everything was messed up, his hair, his clothes, the bed, everything, you know, torn, messed up, and he just became unconscious. And so that is called Avyabhachari Bhava or Sanchari Bhava, which means uncontrolled ecstasy that pure devotees can't see coming. It's not constant, it's intermittent, but you can't see it coming. It's like a train hits you and you didn't see it coming. So he's just completely incapacitated, unconscious, I wouldn't say comatose, but unconscious to the external world, not unconscious, not like when we're unconscious or sleeping. He's in samadhi. So Gadadhar Pandit sees this, and he says, oh my God, here is a person who is extremely elevated, pure devotee, and I have committed an offense in my mind. He didn't say anything, but he thought he had committed an offense in his mind. So we have to be very, very careful not to judge Vaishnavas externally. Of course, there can be some judgment by what people say. I mean, for example, if you find, like if I started saying, I'm God, we're all God, and I'm saying it seriously, then you can say, this guy's out to lunch. But not by the appearance. Oh, he's wearing glasses, therefore he has some bad karma. Or he's lost his hair, he has some bad karma. And sometimes people criticize Vaishnavas for the way they passed away from the material world. They said, well, it's an inauspicious way of passing. I mean, you got to pass some unpleasant way. I mean, you talk about inauspicious or auspicious ways of passing. If you're a Vaishnava, it's all auspicious. However you pass from this world, it's all auspicious. And if you're not a Vaishnava, it's all inauspicious, however you pass from the world. That's the measure of inauspicity or auspicity. Vaishnavism or no Vaishnavism. But the external things, they're not really important. You may see a Vaishnava who you think looks ugly. Of course, if you see like that, you're putting your fences in your mind. It's like called Jatibhuti. In other words, it's comparable to thinking that the deity has been made of stones, hellish intelligence. If you think of Vaishnava as particular caste, that's hellish intelligence. Oh, there's a Brahmin Vaishnava, there's a Shudra Vaishnava, there's a Malecha Vaishnava, there's a Kshatriya Vaishnava. Mm-mm. A Vaishnava is above all those distinctions. A Vaishnava may act in those different roles, but above all those distinctions. Acharyamam viganyam avamanyeta karichit namarcha buddhya suyeta sarvadeva mayo guru. So the acharya or the Vaishnava is not to be considered in terms of mundane distinction. Great offense. Okay. So Gadadhar realizes his offense and he's thinking, what can I do to rectify this particular offense? He's thinking. Finally, Punarika Vijayaniti comes to external consciousness. And then he goes to Punarika Vijayaniti and says, please accept me as your disciple. And Punarika Vijayaniti becomes very happy because he sees that Gadadhar Pandit is actually Radharani. And he says, only after many, many births do I get a disciple like this. Wow. And so in this way, Gadadhar Pandit Goswami takes initiation from Punarika Vijayaniti. And Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, as I mentioned before, was inseparable from Lord Chaitanya. One time, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Gadadhar Pandit, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Because Lord Chaitanya was always feeling these symptoms of vipralamba, separation from Krishna. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? And Gadadhar Pandit said, he's in your heart. And Lord Chaitanya began to take his nails and tear at his flesh, tear at his chest. And Gadadhar Pandit grabbed his hands and stopped him because he was hurting himself. And when Mother Sachi, the mother of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, saw that, she said, Gadadhar, you are very intelligent. You should always stay with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, always stay with Nimai at that time, and always protect him. So Gadadhar always stayed with Lord Chaitanya. It's described that his mentality was very humble, he liked solitude, he liked peace, and he was extremely renounced. He never got married, never was interested in anything of this material world, just wanted to be with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Jagannath Puri, Gadadhar Pandit followed him there. And to remain in Jagannath Puri, Gadadhar Pandit Goswami took a vow of what's called Kshetra Sannyas. Now that's very interesting, that vow, because Srila Prabhupada comments and also repeats the words of Bhaktivinoda Thakur that Kshetra Sannyas is the preferable stage of sannyas in Kali Yuga. Now what do we mean by that? Kshetra means like a place. So, like you have Dharmic Kshetra, Kurukshetra, Samaveta, Yutsavaha, like Kurukshetra, the place of Kuru, like that. So, that means that one has given up everything to serve the Lord in a particular place or in a particular type of mood. It's equivalent to a particular type of vanaprastha. So, in that ashram of Kshetra Sannyas, one can still live with one's wife and preach Krishna consciousness and serve the deities. It doesn't mean that one leaves one's family. So that's preferable in Kali Yuga. In Kali Yuga, generally, the idea of completely renouncing everything and becoming a sannyasi, like me, is generally prohibited. There are exceptions, and those exceptions are only entertained when it is actually important to spread Krishna consciousness as a tool to spread Krishna consciousness. Because simply taking sannyas does not get one liberated, does not give one Krishna consciousness. One gets Krishna consciousness by giving his heart to Krishna. We mentioned in the definition of the word shraddha, to give one's heart to Krishna. That's how one becomes Krishna conscious. Atmanivedanam, giving one's self. Manasa deha geha yokishamor aprilam to your body nandakishore. This is a verse by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. My mind, my body, my home, everything is yours, O Nandakishore. Nandakishore is the name of Krishna, because Krishna's father is Nanda. So that's actually the preferable stage. Oh, that's the only way of becoming Krishna conscious. So it doesn't matter. Kiva vipra kiva nyasi shudra kina naya Krishna tatvadeta se guru hai. Doesn't matter whether one sannyasi, grahasta, learned, not learned, if one is giving their heart to Krishna, they're actually guru. Doesn't matter. Man, woman, child, whatever. Does not matter. So Gadadhar Pandit took this vow of Kshetra Sannyas, and one of the items in his Kshetra Sannyas, in addition to always vowing to remain in Jagannath Puri, was that he would be serving the deity of Tota Gopinath. Now, this Tota Gopinath is a very unusual deity, and many of us have been in Jagannath Puri and seen Tota Gopinath, and I am going to show you a picture of Tota Gopinath right now. Just give me one second when I can share the screen with everybody. Hold on a second. One second. Tota Gopinath Kijai. Let's pray. We can see him. And here he is. This is Tota Gopinath. So Tota Gopinath, you can't see too well in this picture, but Tota Gopinath is sitting down. He's one of the few deities. We're not talking about Ladu Gopal, who's crawling. The few deities of Krishna that's sitting down. Generally, you have Krishna standing in Tribhanga, the threefold bending form. And the reason Tota Gopinath is sitting down is that Tota Gopinath was standing up before. And when he was standing up, he was very tall. He must have been 6 feet tall. So one thing that happens is when you get old, it's hard for you to reach up anymore, especially if you're not 6 feet tall. And Gadadhar Pandit was not 6 feet tall. So he had a lot of trouble taking care of Tota Gopinath that you see here. A lot of trouble taking care of Tota Gopinath. So let's go back to the other page. So because of that, because of his having trouble taking care of Tota Gopinath, he was meditating on the fact that he might have to give up his deity service. And he was lamenting about that. So one morning, he woke up, and he went to the altar, and Tota Gopinath was sitting down. And this is amazing. So in this way, he was able to take care of Tota Gopinath nicely. We're going to tell other stories about Tota Gopinath in regard to Lord Chaitanya's disappearance and Gadadhar Pandit's disappearance in a second. So getting back to the point that Gadadhar Pandit was in Jagannath Puri, taking the vow always to remain there, serving Tota Gopinath, Lord Chaitanya at one juncture was going to Braj, Vrindavan. He was going to take a trip to Vrindavan from Jagannath Puri. And Lord Chaitanya was on his way out, and Gadadhar Pandit followed him outside of the precincts of Jagannath Puri. And Lord Chaitanya got upset. He said, you have your vow to Tota Gopinath. You have your vow of Kshetra Sannyas. You should go back immediately. And Gadadhar Pandit said, basically, let my vow of Kshetra Sannyas go to hell. Now, that's a radical statement. Of course, for those of us in the modern world, when we talk about promises, you can say, you know, it's common for someone to say, all right, promises are meant to be broken, you know. Yeah, it's not that important. But for people of a high-class culture, it's almost like death to break your promise. And you see in the Mahabharata how Grandfather Bhishma, to keep his promise, I mean, he did so many things that were reprehensible. Anyway, because he was considering promises more important than Dharma. But that's another issue. But Gadadhar Pandit, he just broke it. Why? Out of love. And that was proper. It was out of love for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to be with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was ready to break whatever vows or promises to please Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu forbade him, of course, and sent him back. You go back there, and Gadadhar Pandit was completely depressed. But he served the deities and subscribed in the Chaitanya Charitamrita did that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu protected his vow. In other words, even though apparently Gadadhar Pandit had broken his vow by leaving the precincts of Jagannath Puri, Lord Chaitanya just like made up for it and protected his vow. This is the intimate relationship that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had with Gadadhar Pandit Goswami. And later on, Gadadhar Pandit Goswami was tested by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and it was an interesting test, that there was this one devotee, Ballabha Bhatta, who later on became known as Ballabhacharya, who was interacting with Lord Chaitanya, attempting to prove his erudition. You know, he attempted at one time to give his purport on the name Krishna and the chanting. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just like said, all I know is Krishna is God and Krishna is Nanda Nandana. Don't bother me with this. So he kept attempting. And then finally, he said to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I want to write a comment. I've written a commentary on the Srimad Bhagavatam. I want you to hear it. And Lord Chaitanya refused to hear it. Of course, he was submitting before, he was submitting his commentary to Lord Chaitanya through Lord Chaitanya's associates. And what happened is that Lord Chaitanya kept refusing to hear the commentary, and Ballabha Bhatta got extremely depressed. He got so depressed, and he was actually forcing Gadadhar Pandit Goswami to hear the commentary. And Gadadhar Pandit Goswami didn't want to hear it, but he was forced to hear the commentary, and he was thinking, Krishna, 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 protect me from hearing this. And many of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates would actually criticize Gadadhar Pandit, or at least in their minds, you know, some words, why is he listening to Ballabha Bhatta? And so, but Gadadhar Pandit was so humble, that he never reproached anyone, never reproached the Lord, and even Lord Chaitanya appeared to neglect him for some time because he was associating with Ballabha Bhatta, and Ballabha Bhatta was forcing himself. Finally, Ballabha Bhatta goes to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and says to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that I have basically written a better commentary than Sridhar Swami, and I've shown Sridhar Swami, who was the original commentator on the Bhagavatam, basically has some fault. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you know, anyone who does not respect Sridhar Swami is a prostitute. Because Lord Chaitanya was basically using the word Swami to indicate two different things. Swami means, of course, Sridhar Swami, and Swami can also mean husband. You know, so if a wife doesn't properly respect a good husband, not a bozo, a bad husband, then, and she goes with some other man, or she takes a paramour, then that's like prostitution. Okay? Of course, that's even forbidden in the Ten Commandments. Adultery. Either a man or a woman should not do that. You know, we are equal. Adultery. It's one of the Ten Commandments. And I wish people who are Christians would follow the Ten Commandments, especially thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, etc. Honor the one God. So, Lord Chaitanya chastised, and Balabhavat really had a wake-up call at that particular point. And then he became very humble. And eventually, he was allowed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to take initiation from Gadadhar Pandit Goswami. So Gadadhar Pandit Goswami became the Diksha Guru of Balabhacharya, who was actually the head of this whole Sampradaya group called the Pushti Marg. Pushti Marg means like a road or a way. Let's see, a way of nourishing. Pushti means to nourish. And so generally they worship Baal Krishna. And in Gujarat they are actually quite popular. So you see, they actually were connected to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movements through Gadadhar Pandit Goswami. And similarly, you can find Tukaram is very much connected to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, because Tukaram had many, many kirtan parties, very much similar to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's kirtan parties. And of course, he's famous in Maharashtra. So there is some connection there with Tukaram, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Balabhacharya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Gadadhar Pandit Goswami. Very interesting story. So, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided to leave this world, he decided to leave this world by entering into the Totagopinath temple. They actually found some of his clothes in the deity room, and there was a streak on the, a golden streak on the thigh of the deity that hadn't been there before, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entered and closed his manifest pastimes in this world. And in the same way, Gadadhar Pandit, very shortly after Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left this world by entering into the deity room of Tota Gopinath. One final story about Gadadhar Pandit, before we take questions, is the story of Gadadhar Pandit and Srinivas Acharya. So Srinivas Acharya was one of the three great Acharyas, the second generation from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Srinivas Acharya, Narottama Das Thakur, and Shyamananda Pandit. So Srinivas Acharya wanted to go and see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri. And when he just arrived in Jagannath Puri, he was informed that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had left this world. And so he was completely devastated. You'll hear in the story of Srinivas Acharya, if you get a chance to listen to it, that he goes to different places, and right before he gets to a particular location to see a great devotee or to get some spiritual inspiration, whatever, he finds out that that great devotee has left this material world and he can no longer have the association. And this way he becomes completely devastated step after step in his approaching these great devotees and Krishna too. But this is about Gadadhar Pandit Goswami. So he goes to Jagannath Puri to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has already left this material world. And he sees still there is a Swarup Damodar Goswami and Gadadhar Pandit there. So he's thinking, let me at least take instruction and association by hearing the Bhagavatam from Swarup Damodar Goswami and Gadadhar Pandit Goswami. So they pull out the one copy of the Bhagavatam they had, because in those days, at least they didn't have the printing press least where they were. And everything was handwritten on palm leaves. Like you see Rupa Goswami's writings, they're like little rows of pearls on a palm leaf. In the Vrindavan Institute, they have copies of it. It's very beautiful under glass. And I'm sure you can Google it on the internet and see pictures of Rupa Goswami's writing. Anyway, so they pulled out the Bhagavatam, and it was illegible. Because, why was it illegible? Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, upon hearing the Bhagavatam, and Gadadhar Pandit Goswami would actually recite the Bhagavatam to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would cry, and the tears would wash away the letters, so the Bhagavatam was illegible. So then Srinivasacharya left to get another copy of the Bhagavatam so we could go to Bhagavatam class with them. And when he came back to Jagannath Puri, they had both disappeared from this world, and he was again completely bereft, completely feeling this mood of separation from these great Vaishnavas. And even when he went to Srinivasacharya, went later to Sri Vrindavanam, right before he got there, you know, Rupa and Goswami and Sanatana Goswami had passed away. So he was devastated. And of course, he did have the association of Srila Jiva Goswami. And he was able, in this particular way, to, and also Raghunath Das Goswami, in this particular way, to have their association, but still it was intense, his mood of separation. So these are some of the stories and pastimes of Gadadhar Pandit Goswami. Gadadhar Pandit Goswami is Rishabhanu Nandini, Srimati Radharani. And just one other point is that you'll hear in Gadadhar Pandit Goswami's pastimes, he has a very submissive mood and a very humble mood in relationship to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna. So one may ask, if he's Srimati Radharani, why doesn't he have what's called the left-handed mood, the unsubmissive, challenging mood that Srimati Radharani exhibits? And the reason is that that mood has been taken by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in the mood of Srimati Radharani. Even though he's Krishna himself, he's assumed her bhav, or her emotion. So Gadadhar Pandit is exhibiting a manifestation of Radharani's bhav when the, let's say, the anger and the left-handedness is taken away. It's not that, you know, it's not that he's Chandravali. Of course, Chandravali is an expansion of Srimati Radharani. We understand that. But he is Radharani, but letting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibit her bhav, if that makes sense. Okay, so we can take some questions at this point, if that's all right. Let me take us off of the mute, so we'll allow you to unmute yourselves. Okay, so who has a question?
I have a question.
Yes, Mr. Meyer.
Please accept my humble obeisances. The question is, so how is it that Gadadhar Pandit took Kshetra Sannyas in the presence of Lord Chaitanya when Lord Chaitanya did not take Kshetra Sannyas first? Why would he risk being separated like that?
Good question, and one I don't have an answer for. I would have to ask Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, and I don't really have his email address here.
That one's always bothered me ever since I was a little kid.
But that is actually a very good question. And as I said, I have to admit.
Okay.
I mean, I could speculate, which is not really in our sampradaya. We're not supposed to speculate why he did that. And using philosophical speculation instead of mental speculation, I would say, because he was so close, here's my speculation, he was so close to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would not have done it without Lord Chaitanya's permission. I can say that for a fact. He would not. He was just like, you know, he's Radharani. So So he's not going to do anything. Radharani in a submissive mood. So he's not going to do anything unless Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu okays it at least. So I would assume Lord Chaitanya said, it's okay, it's a good idea. So there's an answer for you, which is philosophical speculation, which Prabhupada said we can philosophically speculate, no, mental speculate. There's a difference. Mental speculation means maybe Krishna is not God, maybe I'm God. Or maybe Satya Sai Baba is God or something. That's mental speculation. Philosophical speculation means taking the tattvas without deviating from the tattvas and trying to understand why a certain pastime or certain interaction occurred. And I can say for sure that Gadadhar Pandit would not do anything unless Chaitanya Mahaprabhu allowed him to do that. He would always ask permission. Even he was obedient when Lord Chaitanya said, go back to Jagannath Puri. He didn't say, no way. He said, he went back to Jagannath Puri when he attempted to follow Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Good question. So, any other questions about Gadadhar Pandit Goswami or Bhakti Vinod Thakur, whose disappearance day it is also today? No questions? Everyone is so quiet today. Tomorrow, okay, since everybody is quiet. Tomorrow, we're going to be speaking about, instead of the Bhagavad Gita class, which I miss very much, we're going to be speaking about Rath Yatra, since it's our Sunday program, and it's mostly on the internet. Most of the program is on the internet right now, but we'll be having some people at the temple, and maybe we'll be doing the program outside tomorrow, and it will be 1 hour earlier at 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, which is an hour earlier from whatever time you all signed on today. And that's only tomorrow. So we'll be speaking about Rath Yatra. It's the actual day is the Gundi Jamarjana day, but I'm supposed to speak about Rath Yatra and Gundi Jamarjana tomorrow evening. So tune in for that, and we'll see everybody tomorrow. All glory is to His Divine Grace, the Prabhupada. Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, Ki Jai, Hari Bol, Hari Hari Hari.